He is a WWE Hall of Famer. He is one of the great voices in the history of broadcasting. He also has the number one selling sports biography on Amazon. And in this day and age, if you have the number one selling anything on Amazon, you are doing damn well because they are making some coin. He is the one and only Jim Ross joining us here on Tim and Sid. JR, how are things? How's the family? How you doing? How you holding up?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me on. It's always great to be on your show.
It's always great to have you. I want to start with something that you've done that no one has done for a while, and that is be a fan. I know the UFC invited you out while you and they are in Jacksonville, were in Jacksonville. What was it like to go out and watch an event in this day and age?
And have a cold beer. It was pretty nice, actually. Dana White was a great host. Dana and Tony Khan, our owner, AEW's owner, is their buddies, and you know, it's more than associates. They're friendly. So they all stayed at the Hyatt Hotel here in Jacksonville. I came down on May 4th. I've been in Jacksonville since May 4th at an Airbnb on the beach. So I really had a rough gig here. but my theory is I follow the Arn Anderson philosophy, guys. My fat looks better brown than white. So you can take that to the bank. So it was you guys see it was fun. Here's the thing about it. It's no fans. Man, those 4 ounce gloves make a lot of noise when they hit flesh. This just makes a lot of noise. And then the coaching is an issue because the opponent can hear very readily what the opposing coaches are saying to do. Then they can hear the announcers because it's that quiet. And the announcers have their commentary ongoing. It's a hell of a presentation for an empty arena. But I had a great time, and being a fan is always great. I'm always going to be a fan of something.
Did you have to get tested to watch the UFC, JR?
I was tested twice that week already, so we were already cleared. We had the testing was done. They had testing at the Hyatt. They had testing at the stadium. So I've been tested this week once. I'll be tested again tomorrow, but temperature, blood—it's a prick of the finger. But we're following the protocol as best we can, wearing masks around the set, and so forth. So it's a closed set, and if you don't have a wristband, a green one that shows you passed the test, you don't get in the gate, even if you're a worker.
Right, JR, the one of the most recognizable voices in sports history, Jim Ross, joining us here on Tim and Sid. Do you know Dana well? Because I'd be curious. Listen, I am amazed at what he's been able to pull off. And, the show continued for Vince McMahon. And they're both two kind of, bulls in china shops. But I wonder, is there a comparison between Dana and Vince?
Probably so. In the fact that they're both alpha males. And they're both entrepreneurial in spirit with a very unique and amazing vision. I don't know where that ends and begins, but this in my little time around Dana, you can tell that's his personality, and that's certainly Vince's personality. I worked for Vince in WWE for 26 years, so I know him pretty well, which I cover in my book Under the Black Hat. So but it was fun. They're a lot alike, but I also think they're a little bit different. Dana's, they're different age groups. Vince is in his 70s. Dana probably in his 50s, 40s or something, guys. I don't know. But a different mindset, different generation. But they do have some similar qualities, without a doubt. And they're good qualities, quite frankly.
Dana is 50 years old. Doesn't look a day over 35. 50 years old for Dana White. JR, I want to move. Anything else UFC related to me before I move on? Forgive me.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
I just had a great time. They're fun hosts. And they did eight shows here, or three shows here in 8 days. That was the third day in the eight-day period. So they had their act down good. The signs were out, plenty of hand sanitizer, social distancing, all that good stuff. So it was a good experience, and it looks like that's the way of the world for a while.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a good segue into where I'm going next. I mean, in terms of the world of professional wrestling, and Tim and I, we had Edge on after WrestleMania, and we talk about this a bit because Vince has been busy. You guys have been busy. To not have a crowd if you are a professional wrestler and to perform, I still can't really wrap my head around how they are doing it. How has this changed the business from your eyes? How have the people in the ring changed? How are they approaching it differently? How would you describe what this moment has done to the business?
Well, there's you can't have as much verbal interaction between opponents in the ring. You got to, you know, it's a little bit different. It's more of a feel thing, and that's going to be an adjustment for a lot of young guys. You get a veteran like Chris Jericho, for example, or Dean Ambrose. It doesn't change their game a lot. They find themselves in a mindset. They get in their groove. They got to protect themselves. They got to protect their opponent. There's a whole lot of focus going on. It's just too bad the crowd's not there to react to it. But they go into kind of a zone, I think. I feel the same way about broadcasting in the Yankee Arena. You know, I work off the monitor almost exclusively. And so I don't look up a lot unless I have to find something I'm missing. But nonetheless, the monitor drives me through, and I ride my levels high. So I'm trying to talk over what little ambient noise there is in myself. And so that gives me the sense of urgency in my voice, I think. But it isn't easy. Let me tell you, it's not easy.
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, when I think of what wrestlers do, a lot of it, I mean, you can kind of gauge how good a wrestler is by his pop. And when there's no pop, like, do they have to just trust their instincts?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Steer the course. Just stay the course. I think it's going to make the talents have to execute more crisply because they're out there kind of naked. Not literally, obviously. That would not be fun.
Kind
but nonetheless,
of, yeah.
Well, maybe it
relatively
would be. I don't
naked.
Know. It depends on who's there. But in any event, I think they have to focus on their task at hand and be more fundamentally sound because you can't be talking to each other about what you're going to do next. It's a whole different communication feel.
Jim Ross here on Tim and Sid. I mean, Jim, whether it's WWE or AEW, you've been a talent evaluator your entire life. So you've forgotten more of it than we'll ever know. Can you learn much from young talent in moments like this? Like, who surprised you?
Well, you learn, especially like the Saturday night. We have a pay-per-view Saturday night. And talents are just that have been around wrestling as a fan, like many of our guys have, or they've come through the indies, like many have, or been like someplace else, like Jericho and Ambrose, Mr. Brody Lee, and several other guys, Lance Archer. A lot of those guys have had experiences in a bigger area, in a bigger scene. What you find out on game day on Saturday is how the young guys are going to react. You know, there's a lot of young guys that are daredevils and have no fear. That are in the ladder match we're having. Well, those ladder matches are always car crashes. That's what they're built for, and they're almost a little uncomfortable to watch sometimes. But the guys in that ladder match are the ones that really have something in their view to prove. Because I think they're going to open the show. I'm not sure, but if they do, it'll be a hard act to follow. And put it that way, we got, you know, Darby Allin's a good young kid that's doing well for us. You know, we've got the standard guys. What is it, Winnipegians or Winnipegans? Or what's that? What are your Winnipeg? What are you?
Winnipeggers. Winnipeggers, I believe.
Winnipegger. Yeah, we got a couple of Winnipeggers on our roster, and Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho. So good Canadian flavor. Sean Spears is Canadian. But we're doing fine. Our brand's growing good. But you'll find, what I'm trying to say is, you'll find out what's in their head and what's in their gut on a big pay-per-view, because they put inherent and immense pressure on themselves, because – in pro wrestling, being on a pay-per-view card is a symbol that you've kind of half-assed arrived. And these kids are finally arriving. They're making more money now than they've ever made on the indies, making 40 or 50 bucks a night. I remember when I hired Edge and Christian, I paid them $210 a week on their first contract. And that was a raise for what they were earning.
Been there, done that. That is amazing. All that stuff in his book, the one that Sid was talking about, it's called Under the Black Hat, My Life in the WWE and Beyond by Jim Ross, who's joining us now on Tim and Sid. I got to walk down a road. Listen, I've done some work with the fine folks at Weber Grills in Canada, and I know that you are a bit of a grill master yourself. And I got to ask you a question about the grill because, you know, when you get a Saturday – and maybe out by that beach in Jacksonville, there's a grill staring you down like Andre the Giant stared down Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 3. You know, what's your go-to? What are you putting on that grill to show it who's boss?
when I came to this Airbnb to look at it, when they were talking about renting it for me for a month, the first thing I looked at was the patio, and it had a grill on it, and it was horrible. I said to the landlord, I said, no human being should eat off that. So then about 2 days later, I had a brand new grill out there. So, and I've been using the damn thing, I promise you. I'm a pretty basic guy. I like steaks, and I like fillets because they're not quite as fatty. I like to cook my steaks charred medium, which is, it takes a little bit of skill, and you got to pay attention.
Yeah.
I cook a lot of chicken thighs, and then I got a little apparatus you set on top of the grill that's perforated that I'll cook things like potatoes, fried potatoes, or asparagus. So I'm pretty proficient, self-sufficient, I should say, on the grill. It's a kind of a cathartic thing for me.
No doubt.
It can be that. That's part of the beauty of it, is just to kind of, you're forced to slow down, depending on what you're cooking, but you're forced to slow down and just watch it.
That's right.
Yeah.
I love the road.
It doesn't do well being ignored. It hurts his feelings.
Jim Ross here on Tim and Sid, and we've gone down a grilling road barbecue-wise, and I love it. Jim, what do you think is the most overrated barbecue meat? What is the one thing everyone loves that you cannot stand on a barbecue?
Oh, wow. Man, I gotta stretch that out a little bit. Well, the one thing on the grill that I can't stand, man. Well, I haven't had a lot of luck cooking a pork butt, because you've got to cook them so damn low, like 200 degrees, for so many hours, like 8 or 10, that I never can get it right. By the time the 10 hours are up, I'm already drunk. You know, I don't have good judgment. I'm impaired. I've overserved myself. And so my pork butts have not been a success lately. But everything else is pretty good, you know. You find out on a grill, there's a difference in grilling and smoking. And, you know, smoking, you put the meat over over indirect heat. So one end of the grill, you got the burners on. The other end of the grill is where your product is, and you got no fire underneath it. But that's the all-day process of smoking. But most of us are grillers, and so that's why I'm a griller, because at my stage of life, guys, I can't waste any time here. I don't buy ripe. I don't ripe. As Henry used to say, we should never buy ripe bananas.
Yeah. Yeah, don't buy the green bananas. Leave them on the shelf. So let me ask you this, because I'm just curious. Do more people talk to you about your books and your wrestling, or you're almost just as famous for your barbecue now?
Oh, the wrestling takes precedent because I've done it so long on such a big platform. Luckily enough for me, but you know, I'm more proud, quite frankly, guys. I alluded to Edgy Christian a few moments ago. Two fine Ontario boys, I'm probably more proud of the guys that I hired than I am of my own work. You know, I've worked, somebody said the other day, you're the only guy that's ever broadcast Wrestle Kingdom, WrestleMania, and Star Wars. And I didn't know that, you know. Okay, so cool. And it's a neat deal. When you think back on it, it's a pretty cool accomplishment.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I'm having the time of my life with these guys. You know, these young kids keep me going, and I'm 68. I'm in the high-risk group of this virus. That's why I'm staying away from everybody, and I'm in this Airbnb. I'm going to stay here until the 29th, so I've been here a whole month because I'm going to be careful, be safe. I have two granddaughters, fellas. One's 17 and one is 14. And on Easter Sunday, they lost their other grandfather due to the virus. This grandpa coming down to Florida to work for a month was not met with great fanfare on the home front. They're worried about Grandpa. So Grandpa's being careful. Grandpa's doing what he loves to do. And there's got to be something to be said for that, too. We can't just quit living our lives. We just got to live them smarter, and that's what I'm trying to do down here.
Well said.
Definitely well said. And the distractions, whether they be AEW, whether they be UFC, whether they be some soccer from across the pond. I mean, we get a lot of comments during the show, JR, on Twitter about, well, just cancel everything. Those little distractions, I'm learning, and I think a lot of people are learning, are so needed, so incredibly needed. And I just like, and in that vein, are we going to see some Sooners football this year? What's your gut telling you?
I think they can't afford not to play. I think every league, you know, the colleges in the United States, the athletic program, the football program more specifically, funds everything. And it funds every other sport in the entire curriculum. So I think that financially people will take risk. I think they'll take chances to get the game back up and going. That includes college, includes the NFL. You know, I don't know what the stance is in the CFL, but, you know, those guys aren't going to make any money if unless there's folks sitting in the seats. So it's a hell of a conundrum, quite frankly. But I do think we'll see football. I think it's going to be different. I think our world is going to be different, guys, going forward. But it doesn't mean it's not a bad world. It's just a different world that we all got to be smart enough and not be defiant and adjust to.
Well said. He is the one and only Jim Ross, AEW pay-per-view this weekend. He has a number one bestseller on Amazon, Under the Black Hat, My Life in the WWE and Beyond. Jim, this is a real pleasure every time we get to talk to you. And stay well. Hope you and the family are well going forward. And let's chat again soon. Thank you.
You bet, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a great day and stay healthy.